What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Sebastian Scales Show. I hope you're having a terrific day full of, you know, good, all sorts of good stuff. As I was just sitting down here, I was like, oh man, let's see. You know, whenever I start an episode of this podcast, or just so many things in life, I find myself rushing immediately. Like, as if you guys are going to stop listening or turn it off if I don't entertain you in the first 5 seconds. The reality is, it's unlikely that our attempt to hurry is going to be the difference in whether or not people want to listen to us. And the hurrying implies that there's somewhere that we need to get to that's more important than here. So we know that's not true. There's nothing that's more important than here, because here is where everything is. Always. Always has been, always will be. Nothing happens outside of now. Everything that exists outside of now is a thought in our mind. And we have infinite things to think about. In the past, things that happened to us, or things that people might have thought about what was happening to us. Unlimited things backwards, unlimited things forwards. It's infinite. You could never think about what's actually happening in the now ever again, and you would never run out of things to think about. You could take one instance from the past and think about it forever. And I'm reading A New Earth right now by Eckhart Tolle, and he talks about how the horizontal dimension of reality, which is the linear outlook on things, implies past and future in this small, minuscule moment called the now. And he's talking about how basically, like, as you put more of your attention on now, you can access the vertical dimension of life, which is the intensity of the actual experience that you're having. And he's not saying, like, forget about time. Like, we need time to be able to do things in life, to plan things. But psychological time, meaning all the things that we hold onto in our brain from the past, or things that we project out into the future, especially the negative things that we harp on. He was talking about this, and I was thinking to myself, like, wow, there is, if we have the ability to infinitely focus on the past and infinitely focus on the future, we have the ability to infinitely focus on now. And all of that focusing on the past and future is energy. And what would happen if we started putting our focus, our energy, on what we were actually experiencing? And it made me think about this vertical, horizontal, horizontal, vertical analogy, and how, okay, we can go out to infinity in either direction, which also makes it feel like we could go infinitely up vertically, or perhaps down. Maybe the up is like the outward experience, focusing fully on the external, and the down is focusing fully on the internal, which you can perhaps do simultaneously. It just got me thinking and feeling in a way that made me really excited to continue catching myself thinking about things that are in the past or the future, and remembering that I don't have to do that, and that there is an experience available to me and all of us in every moment, in the never-ending now, that feels incredible. Sometimes in meditation, I'll have these moments where it feels like thought subsides, and what comes in is just this feeling of peaceful bliss that is so much doper than freaking out about embarrassing shit that happened in the past, or worrying about something bad that's going to happen in the future. It's just, it's exciting. And just now, as I was about to sit down to record this, I started thinking to myself, let me just feel how it feels to sit in this chair and focus on that before trying to figure out a way to captivate you as a watcher, listener, so that you don't think that I suck and turn this podcast off immediately. Because, for any reason. Because maybe the way to really get through to people is by being. Maybe the way to really capture somebody's attention is to have your attention on what it is that's actually happening. Even if you're talking about the past, which a large portion of this podcast is going to be, it's recounting things. It doesn't have to be something that you turn your attention fully away from now to do. But sometimes when we're in these past thought freakouts, it feels like all of our attention is there. You know, you could be laying in bed freaking out about something that you did 14 years ago, and it, you know, if you were to take away those thoughts, you would be laying in a bed in a home, it's safe, you know, with a family and friends and food and shit. And even if you don't have all of those things, there are things that you have that you can be grateful for no matter what. And you don't even have to be thinking, I'm so grateful for this bed. I'm so great. You know, you can just feel it. Just experience the feeling of laying on a bed and expand vertically. So anyway, now to talk about the past some. So picking up from where we were at the end of the last episode, was having these experiences with this energy movement, which is a super vertical oriented experience. You know, that was like coming into contact with something that I never knew I was capable of experiencing, but probably have been experiencing the whole time. It's just the sensitivity is increasing in these moments of energy and attention allocation into the moment. And it just, it felt so good. And then all of these experiences that were happening with Galen that just were compounding my feelings for her. Like being able to be these universal detectives together. You know, sometimes it's hard to know what you want before you've experienced it. But now that I have, I'm like, holy shit, you are the whole package and then like a whole other truck of packages that got delivered late. Well, right on time, but so many more packages. It's just overwhelming and kind of scary, but as much as it may be scary, I am trying to stay open because what am I afraid of? I guess loss? The more you love someone, the harder it is to lose them. But this is like preventing the potential loss. Not even, it's almost like not even taking the jump because you're scared of potentially losing what you would have. Which is a silly thing to, it's such an egoic illusion of control anyway. Like, I'm not even going to get involved because I don't want to get hurt or whatever. When it's like, you're going to lose everything. Everything that you have will be lost when you die. You can't hold on to anything. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't experience all that life has to offer. It doesn't mean you should prevent yourself from feeling emotions, especially loving emotions, because what am I going to feel like when they're gone? They're going to be gone. So use that as a motivation to not even remotely try to control what emotions you feel, because it's going to end. It's totally a perspective thing, because you could easily take that perspective and run with it and be like, I'm going to lock myself in a room and never connect with anyone. Because all that's leading to is just the inevitable loss. But it certainly feels a lot better to just dive right in and start experiencing feelings and emotions that maybe make you feel like it's worth it to take the risk. And that's what ended up happening. It got to the point where I was like, okay, you know, I think that I love this girl. And as I started coming to terms with that, I found myself feeling even more scared and resistant to the idea of telling her that, because it feels like it means so much in terms of like, oh man, there's no going back now. Like, once I, oh, just realized I'm wearing this on my left finger. So I do love her, but we are not married yet. Not saying that won't happen, just not yet. Realized that would be some pretty epic foreshadowing. But yeah, I was trying to maneuver, navigate the intense feelings of love and the simultaneous worries of fear of loss of love. And it just kept intensifying. And I think part of it was that, you know, I was scared of, it just felt like it was sort of a point of no return. But why is that bad? If we live our lives trying to avoid the loss of positive feelings, we'll never actually have any of them. We'll just have the feeling of fear associated with feeling positive feelings, which is a totally different experience than just feeling positively. Every time you start feeling good, you start worrying about when it's going to end and how to protect yourself from that feeling instead of enjoying what's actually happening. And that's the horizontal focus. You're focusing on what it's going to be like when it ends instead of how amazing it is now. And that shift in focus away from this egoic fear, this attempt to keep you emotionally safe and strong, shifting away from that, continuously catching yourself and reminding yourself that you're okay and that there is a whole world here for you now, a whole universe here for you now, outside of this horizontal dimension that allows you to experience the feelings of love and every feeling in such a intensity that dissolves a lot of the fears and doubts of whether or not it's worth it. So I just kept rolling with it. And about 2 weeks later, Galen had planned a trip to this place called Idlewild, which is like 2.5 hours east of LA, and she had a long weekend, and so I decided to go. She went on a Thursday. I went up the next day, and I met her there. On the way to Idlewild, I was driving, and I was talking to my dad on the phone, and I told him where I was going, and he was like, oh, no way. Like, Mom and I have been to Idlewild. So my parents met in China. They were both tour guides, and they started dating, and about a year later, they went to the U.S. for the first time together, and my grandpa was living in Palm Desert, which is at like the base of Idlewild, and so my dad and my mom went to Palm Desert, and my grandpa said that they should go check out Idlewild Arts, which is a theater school. My grandpa was the dean of theater at USC, and so he's always been involved in theater, and he was working at Idlewild Arts at the time. And so during that first year of dating, it's like the first place that they went to in the U.S. after getting back from China was Idlewild. And also that my grandpa worked at Idlewild Arts, which is where Galen went to high school. that's why she was back visiting Idlewild, because she hadn't been there in a long time, and she got a full ride for acting to Idlewild. Pretty interesting. But it was because of all of these synchronicities that had been happening, it was like, it's like, yeah, of course, of course. Of course you guys are connected to Idlewild Arts, of all places. So anyway, I get there, and we'd been talking about doing mushrooms for a while. Galen had never done them before, and I'm a big mushroom advocate. And so we were trying to think of a place to do them. The first place that we went was the Idlewild Arts Theater, because it's in this like really grassy atrium. And when we got there, we lay down on the grass and these flies just came out of nowhere and started attacking us. And it was like such a clear sign to get out, because they were relentless, just trying to fly into our ears and shit. And we were so fortunate that they came before we took the mushrooms, because, you know, for whatever reason, we needed to not be there for that. And then we went to two other places and just couldn't quite find a good spot. And then eventually we went to this lake called Lake Hemet, which is like 20 minutes from Idlewild. And we walked all the way to the very end of the lake. And finally we found a spot, because there were so many people around. And you kind of, when you're on shrooms, you want to find a spot where you can be alone and safe and just in nature, and you don't have to interact with other humans. So we found a spot, and it was our own little like private beach, basically. And the sun was out. It was so warm. It was probably like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it was just so clear that that's where we needed to be for this. And so we decided to take a shroom. And we decided to start with just like one shroom, because, you know, you can always take more shrooms, but you can't take less shrooms once you've taken shrooms. And we were laying there, and I had this thing. It's called a Chilbo Schwaggins. It's a big inflatable couch that fills up with air. So I filled it up, and I was laying in it. And we were probably, it had probably been like 45 minutes. And we were just kind of sitting there, and Galen was on a blanket laying in the sand. And seemingly out of nowhere, I started having these thoughts about how I need to be doing more stuff, specifically stand-up. I started having these thoughts about how I need to be more productive, and this is not a productive use of time, and how I'm falling behind, and my brain started listing these reasons why what I was doing wasn't what I needed to be doing, and how I should be doing all this other stuff, and blah. And I had this thought about this comedian whose name is Craig Conant, who I really like, and my brain just showed him in my mind and started thinking about these clips that I'd seen of him and how funny he was and how apparently I'm never going to make it to that level unless I do stand up right now, currently. My brain just started telling me that I'm a failure if I continue enjoying this experience on the beach. And I caught myself. I mean, it lasted for a couple of minutes, but I did eventually catch what was happening. And I was like, ugh, wow, I fucking feel bad thinking like this. I hate thinking like this. It's boring. One, because this thought isn't productive at all. I can't do stand-up for the fish in the lake. I can't do it right now. So why am I beating myself up for something that I can't change in this moment? And two, how do I know that this experience that I'm about to have won't provide amazing stand-up material? It's very difficult to come up with something good, whether it's material or just an experience that you're having, if your focus is on something totally different. It just was such a recognition of the physical feelings associated with focusing on this future horizontal scenario that I just sort of snapped out of it. And I just thought to myself, like, you don't have to do this. Nobody is forcing you to think about how you need to be doing stand-up right now. It's just your mind. And then I started thinking about how Craig Conant is this like psychedelic comic who talks about mushrooms all the time. Literally, the clip that I was thinking about in my mind that was he did so well, and I was like, you got to get to that level, and you can't right now. That clip is about him taking mushrooms and having a run-in with cops with fireworks. He's literally on mushrooms in the clip that my brain is upset with me for not doing stand-up about right now because I'm falling behind. Craig, if I were to actually talk to him about this, would 100% advocate for experiencing the mushroom trip with this girl that you love, likely, and enjoy the beach and all this amazing stuff that's happening, and don't fucking focus on this. It makes no sense. And it just further allowed me to step out of this thought train. And then I just started focusing on the feeling of the sun on my face. And it just, like, almost immediately, I started tripping. Way more intensely than I would have expected for a single shroom. It wasn't even like a full shroom. We split a shroom. I took the cap and she ate the stem. So I'm just a cap. I'm a cap in, and my eyes are still closed, and I'm feeling the like the sun and how good it feels to be in this inflatable couch. And like I started seeing colors just in my with my eyes closed, just like this these color patterns, and I started just giggling to myself. And then eventually I opened my eyes and I looked at Galen and I was like, oh yeah, I'm totally high for sure, tripping at the moment. And I'm a pretty big lightweight. It doesn't take me much. And things hit me very quickly. But this was like particularly surprising. But I think it was in part because of the attention shift away from past, future possibilities and worries and regrets to what am I actually experiencing? And when you, the more you focus on what you're experiencing, the better what you're experiencing feels. It was like I was on shrooms and then I added the psychedelic impact of attention. And it just felt amazing. And so Galen wasn't really feeling anything. And so she decided to take another shroom. And for the next like hour, she was kind of just sitting there and I was like just all over the place, dude. Like not in a out of control way. Like I was, it was nice because when I've taken shrooms in the past, I've always taken a bunch and just been so just belligerently tripping in a great way. But this was a much more relaxed and yet very psychedelic experience where I felt very in control of my body and I could articulate my thoughts, but I also felt really connected. Like I remember feeling how like my feet in the water felt so connected to earth and just everything around, and it was windy and the wind on my body felt good. And one of the things that I needed to mention before I went home and had that trip back with my parents, literal trip, not psychedelic trip, I had been having these feelings of like wanting to fish, these odd, unexplainable urges to fish. And I'm a pescatarian. I have been for probably a year and a half, maybe two now. And I love fish. But for some reason recently, I'd just been having the urge to like catch some. And I watched these videos on YouTube of this guy, Brody, who goes and like dives down and catches lobsters and spearfishes and things. And it just, I don't know, I just started having these urges. But the urges felt very primal. I don't really know how to explain it, but it just felt kind of similar to me holding on to my mom's calf, where it's like, you know, this feels familiar. Like, these urges to fish felt like maybe I had done that before at some point. But I was literally going to drive back to Seattle instead of flying so that I could fish along the way. I didn't do that, but when we were in this lake in Idlewild, I picked up this stick and was just this big stick, and I was like twirling it around, and it felt like a spear. And I kept having these urges to like huck this spear and somehow just drill a fish or, you know, an antelope or something. I don't know. It felt very primal and also really good and familiar. So these fishing urges come into play later. I think in the next episode they'll come into play. But this is where I started really feeling it in this, like being connected to the water and the shroom feelings. It was intense. Anyway, another hour passed and Galen still wasn't feeling anything. So she decided to take another shroom. And I haven't taken any more shrooms at this point because I just was feeling so good and I didn't feel the need to add anything to my experience. I didn't feel the need to be any higher. And even though I was like certain I was tripping, I also didn't feel that different from being sober. Obviously, it was like a pretty small dose, but it was a nice feeling of just like, you know, comfortably tripping balls. And maybe 30 minutes later, Galen wanted to go on the couch. She wanted to float on the couch, but she didn't want to go in the water because the water was freezing. And so she like lined it up and got ready to jump on it without falling in. And she went for it, jumped on the couch, landed on it at this angle that I saw how she landed and I knew that she was going to fall. But it was too, I couldn't communicate that quickly enough. And 2 seconds later, she just fell fully into the water. And when she came back up, she looked at me and she was like, oh, it's happening. I'm tripping. She was totally just snapped into the psychedelic reality. And I think what it was a similar thing to my attention shift away from Craig and not being enough. Shifting from that to what I'm experiencing physically, the feeling of the sun on my skin, that shift is basically what pulls us in. And for Galen, it's hard to be focusing on anything else when you fall into freezing cold water. And so that felt like it was a snap out of thought into experience that made her start feeling the mushrooms. And just another example, too, of how the thing that you thought you didn't want of or were afraid of falling into the water ended up being the thing that caused you to experience what you were hoping to experience. So she immediately got out of the water, but was certainly tripping balls. And also keep in mind, she's never done mushrooms before, and she's probably 2.5 shrooms deep at this point. So she was feeling it. She was like having a hard time articulating things, but she assured me that she was having a great time, but she was just like, it's a lot to speak right now. Which is almost like the mushroom saying, like, just experience this. Don't talk about it. Don't think about it. Don't talk about it. Just look, smell, feel, taste, touch. So anyway, I was just, over the course of this time period, twirling my stick around, feeling amazing, feeling like a fish hunter. And then Galen sitting there on the bank, and at one point she like points out like this bird that was flying over. We didn't know what it was, but it was one of those birds that like dives in and dips its head into the water and goes and hunts for fish, and then it comes back up, and it was just like this sweet bird, and we didn't know what the name of it is. But keep this in mind, this bird and also the fishing story, because they're both important coming up. But it was our, she saw that, and it was like, it really registered in my head, because she hadn't said anything in so long, and then it was like, look, bird, look at the bird. So there, and it was there, and it was a cool looking bird. And I kept like looking at her on the bank when I was, you know, twirling my stick around, and I just kept thinking to myself, I know that I love you. I know it. I feel it. And I'm on mushrooms, but I know it. I knew it before mushrooms. I just really know it now that I'm thinking less and having less fears about what this will mean. This point of no return, the potential loss of love, all of these things that feel less worrisome when you're not thinking so much. And I thought about telling her right then, but I was like, this is her first time on mushrooms. I'm on mushrooms. This would be a lot. And I don't want the first time that I tell you that I love you to be while I'm on shrooms either. Because, well, I guess it would be okay, but because I want you to know that this is how I feel also when I'm not on psychedelics. But it was, I had to actually restrain myself from telling her then. But, It was so dope. And then there was a moment where I was like probably up to my chest in the water. And I started having a similar thought train to the Craig Conan stuff, where I was feeling like, oh man, dude, you're not enough. You need to be so much more along than where you are right now. You need more money and followers, and all these egoic thoughts started like racing into my head. And almost like immediately, this wave came in and kind of like shook me. Because, you know, most of my body was in the water. And so this wave came and it like moved me almost. And it didn't really, I kind of noticed it a little bit, but the thoughts were still strong. And then a second one came and did the same thing, but a little bit harder. And I kind of like paid more attention to that. And I was like, okay. And I had like a brief glimpse of not thinking about this stuff. And then another wave came. And it was like this third wave, this sequence of three, that the third wave like shook me out of it. And I just felt the feeling of being moved by this wave, and I like snapped out of it again. And I was like looking around. I'm like, oh my God, we're in a lake on a mountain. Look around. Feel it. Don't think about shit that makes you feel bad in a place that feels good. But it literally felt like the lake was waking me up out of this egoic thought pattern. Like it took me by the shoulders and was like, hey, come on. It doesn't have to be this way. Enjoy yourself. I don't know, dude. It just felt like this lovely water nod, this water nudge back into reality. Felt really good. So the rest of the trip was amazing, and the timing worked out really well, because she started like coming up sort of around the time that I was peaking and coming down. And so eventually it got dark and we needed to leave the lake. And at that point I was like totally sober. It had been like 5 hours. And so I was good to drive. Meanwhile, she's like basically mute with a smile on her face, just giggling, not articulating, but giggling. And it was terrific. And so we drove back to Idyllwild, and, you know, felt like we were flying a spaceship around this mountain. And we got back to the Airbnb, and one of the things that was so interesting was Galen looked at herself in the mirror, and she was like, ugh, I hate how I look. Which, I've had that experience too. If you look at yourself in the mirror while you're on psychedelics, it can be very weird. You start seeing things about your appearance that you're not used to seeing. Not just because your face is like, you know, warping and melting into your body, but just you start seeing like, you know, ways that your skin is shaped and the color. You just start focusing on things that aren't normally the things that you focus on. And so she just said, like, I really wish I didn't look at myself in the mirror. Like, I hate the way that I look. And so I came in and I was like, no, this is just mushrooms. Don't worry. It's okay. You're beautiful. I want to tell you I love you, but I'm not going to because we're tripping, etc. And so we decided to order some food and we put in an order for sushi. And the lady on the phone was so nice. And we walked to go pick up the sushi. And as soon as we got there, the lady came out with the sushi and she looked at Galen and she was like, you are stunning. Like, oh my God. And then it was like she realized that that was like not that it was an inappropriate thing to say, but we still had to like pay and like give a tip and stuff. And then, so right after she said that, she like snapped out of it and was like, oh my God, I'm not just saying that so that you give me a tip. I was sort of just like caught off guard basically by how beautiful you are. And it was such epic timing because Galen got to experience what the universe believes, how the universe is perceiving her, despite what she may feel about her look in this mirror. The universe thinks that she's so beautiful that it says that and then immediately is like, oh my God, I'm sorry. It just fell out of my mouth, that compliment. And then we ended up chatting with this girl for so long, and we told her that we were on mushrooms, and she was like, I took mushrooms earlier today. And it was like, of course you did. Of course. It was such an epic, immediate connection with this person who happened to say the thing that Galen needed to hear in that moment. And it was like, you know, she couldn't just dismiss that. Because, you know, like she might be able to do for me, oh, you would just say that because you want to make me feel better. This lady had no reason to tell her that she looked stunning, but she just did. It was so perfect. So then we got back to the Airbnb and we ate the sushi. And Galen had brought some bubbles with her because this Airbnb had a bath. And she filled this tub with bubbles. And I haven't taken a bubble bath in fucking decades, dude. But it just hits so hard. And we were in this bath, and I was kind of playing with the bubbles and stuff. And there was a moment where I started putting my hands in the same motion and space as I had with the energy movement from the last episode. And I started doing the motion, and immediately I was like, this is what it feels like. Because I had bubbles between my hands. And so you can feel the bubbles, like as you push them closer together and further apart, you can feel them expanding and contracting, and you feel like this presence between your hands. Only in this bubble bath, it's bubbles, you can see them. But I had been talking to Galen about this energy movement experience, and I was trying to articulate like what it felt like. And we were sitting in this bath across from each other, and I was like, this is it. This is exactly what it feels like. It just made so much sense on a feeling level that basically what I'm feeling is these energy bubbles. Which if you think about like molecules, are like all little circles, protons, neutrons, electrons, atoms, all these things are like spheres, like bubbles. And it just gave me this perception of this energy movement that felt like the perfect description. And it just happened because Galen brought bubbles to Idlewild. There was part of me, you know, before I started talking about the energy movement stuff, that was hesitant to share this because I guess I was just thinking that maybe some people would be like, all right, I'm out. You know, I was in it for the synchronicities and whatever. I can buy into that, but this energy movement stuff, that's where I draw the line. And I thought back to the first episode, like how I began the first episode of this podcast, which was just by saying that I can't filter. I can't not say what I want to say because of worries of what people will think. And so that's why I decided to share it. And I'm glad, because ultimately, the quicker we start being our authentic selves, the quicker the people that love us for who we are authentically will find us. And so we can just trust and allow anyone who doesn't vibe with who we really are to go vibe somewhere else. And know that the people that are coming into contact with you when you're being yourself are the people that are meant to be around you. And the people that will encourage you to be who you are. So, yeah. It was so sick, dude. This bubble bath. If you haven't taken a bubble bath, go rip one and try this out in the bubble bath. That's what it feels like. Feel the energetic bubbles of the universe that you are also made out of. So we went to bed that night, and I was just feeling incredible. We woke up the next day, and Galen had to work in the morning. And so I was just thinking to myself, like, all right, I love her. I love her. I know I love her, and I'm going to tell her. But should I do this romantically or something? I don't know. And I tried to just like not overthink it. And so while she was doing some work, I went out onto the back porch and I meditated. And I just, you know, did what we've been talking about on this podcast for so long. It's just like I just experienced what it was that I was feeling. And the more I allowed myself to feel love, the less I felt afraid of sharing it. And I probably meditated for like, I don't know, some like 30 minutes or so. And then she came out and she sat down on my lap and kind of like laid down and like next to me. And I like sort of leaned over her and I was looking at her and I was like, I'm going to say it, you know? And then she sat up and I was like, oh, okay. I guess I'm not meant to say it right now. And then like 10 seconds later, she went right back down to the exact spot that she was at before. And then I looked at her and I told her I loved her. And she was definitely caught off guard, but in a really good way. She told me she loved me too. And, dude, I mean, it just felt, words are tricky, but the feelings were intense. And she was like, did you just think this? Like, have you been feeling this? And I was like, yeah, no, I've felt it for a while. I don't know. I was just waiting for the right time. And it felt like the right time was coming out of a meditation when my mind couldn't be clearer, you know? There's no room for, oh, sorry, I was just on drugs. I'm hesitant to even call mushrooms a drug. It's not a drug in the typical sense, but I wasn't in a altered sense, you know? I wasn't in my boxers in a lake twirling a stick around. Like getting ready to hunt for fish. By the way, I love you. I'm glad that I waited. It would have been okay, but I am glad that I waited. And then that was that. And, you know, a couple of hours later, we were talking and she was like, hey, you know, I just wanted to say, like, now that we love each other, I don't want to, like, see anyone else. And I was like, yeah, me neither. And so we're dating. And it's just so, it's so dope, dude. We had a long conversation that night, and we were just talking about our childhoods and all sorts of stuff. And at one point, it came up that she likes, I said that I used to play PlayStation a lot. And she was like, no way, I played PlayStation 2. And I was like, what? And then she said she was into Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! And I was like, fuck, dude, talk about another box. Ugh. Finding out your girlfriend now also played PlayStation and will probably be down to play PlayStation still, and was into Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! It was just such an incredible bonus. Like, I loved you before I knew that we were so intertwined childhood-wise. It's just so sick. And, like, so much stuff is still happening like that. It's just continues to blow me away, this connection that we have. Oh, I'm getting a call from my dad. Let's see. Hey, I'm just recording a podcast. Can I call you back later?
Yeah, I just wanted to, Ben just wanted to say hello. I'm babysitting.
See if we can see Finn on the, oh yeah.
Hey, Finn, look. That's Sebastian.
Hey, Finn.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great, too. It's good to see you. I heard you know all of the planets now. Thank you.
So, Finn likes all kinds of bubble tea now, don't you, Finn? Bubbles.
Wow, that's so crazy that you're saying that Finn likes bubbles, because I was just recording the podcast episode about Idlewild and about how bubbles, like the energy bubbles in the bubble bath that Galen and I took.
Yeah.
And you're like, here's Finn liking bubble. He had his first bubble tea. Epic.
Well, we had two. We had one yesterday and one today. And he doesn't like the liquid, so he sucks out the bubbles and spits them out and then eats them individually.
Interesting. Wow, you'll have to cook him up a pot of tapioca pearls.
Yeah, well, yeah, so he'll get him. Anyway,
all right,
that was it.
Okay, cool. Right, see you later.
Bye.
I mean, come on. My 2-year-old cousin just had his first bubble tea, and my dad FaceTimes me, because I love bubble tea. My dad and I both love it. Like, we, at one point in our lives, we were going to go get, we were going to make a book of rating all the bubble teas in the world that we've been to. We haven't done that yet, but we love bubble tea. And freaking bubbles being the thing in the bath. Like, my dad called, FaceTimed me to say hello to my cousin, which he's actually never done before. Because he's never, like, alone with Finn. He's babysitting for him because he's visiting my aunt right now. And he FaceTimes me to tell me that Finn likes bubbles. Like, right after I finished talking about this bubble bath and how bubbles are the fabric of the universe. Come on, dude. It's just so epic. Not like Finn is, because I had seen videos of him learning the planets, you know, and I thought maybe that's what it was going to be about, or it could have been about anything. He's 2. He could have learned anything in the world or started liking anything in the world. And my dad calls me to tell me that he likes bubble tea. It's just, I love it. Dude, that's so fun too, because I feel like so much of this podcast is me talking about, like, wild synchronicities that have happened. And that's one that just happened in real time currently as the podcast is going. Oh, man, it's just so epic. Wow. Well, once again, on the right track. And man, it feels so good to me. Oh, it's just so fun. It's so fun. Talk about a wink. Okay, let's see. Oh, yes. Okay, so we finished that last day in Idlewild, and the mayor of the town is called Mayor Max, and he's a golden retriever. Puppy dog energy. The mayor of the town is a puppy dog. Woof. I mean, come on. How many dog mayors are there out there that are also named Max, which, by the way, my parents were debating between Max and Sebastian to name me. And we saw him on the way to Lake Hemet. We drove by this truck, and in the back was this golden retriever, and Galen said that was Mayor Max. How cool is that? The next day we left, and we drove back separately, and I called my dad, which perfect timing with him calling me just now, and I was telling him about what had happened and how I have a girlfriend now. And he was saying, like, you know, I don't know quite what it is, but I feel like I have this connection with Galen. And so we were talking about it, and he realized that his freshman dorm, he went to UC Santa Cruz, and the name of his freshman dorm was Galen House. So, again, like a pretty clearly good sign that also on this, you know, universal synchronistic treasure hunt is such a clear next spot to go to. So, yeah. Galen House will be the topic of the next podcast. So, thank you for being here. I hope your now is filled with universal winks and synchronicities and experiences that make you feel alive and connected with the bubbles that you are. Feels good to be here. See you soon. Peace.